Wow, that was awesome, huh? What a great day today is. We're celebrating. We're getting victory. New victories. We're celebrating some old victories. We're establishing the fact that God has done miraculous things in the past. Amen. He's doing miraculous things today. Yeah. And he's going to do many more miraculous things in the future. And we get to be part of that. If you want to be part of that, I mean, you can just hang out and be dull and blah if you want to, you know. Or you can jump into what God's doing. Around here, we've said for many years, it's our turn now. Moses had his turn, and Peter, Paul, and Mary had their turn, and all the other people in the Bible had their turn. Guess whose turn it is now? It's our turn. Some of us are aging a little bit, but we got a lot of teenagers in here. We've got a lot of young people in here, and we're getting not only spiritual sons and daughters, but spiritual grandchildren, spiritual great-grandchildren, and God's going to do many miracles through all of that. Amen. Hey, I get to talk a little bit about our past and what God has done at the Life Center. We're celebrating paying off this building. Amen. We're actually saying, look what God has done. And we're thanking him for that. Amen. And I don't know if you remember that old gospel song, He'll Do It Again. And when I read the Bible, I'm just going, God, you have done some amazing things. He says, yeah, but I'm not done yet. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. We don't serve a historical God that used to do things. We're serving a God that's doing things right now and right here. Amen. His word's fresh and alive and powerful and working inside of us. Amen. So 21 years ago, 21 years, 6 months, and 2 days ago, to be exact, how many minutes? Two churches blended into one church and created the Life Center 21 years ago. Yeah. It took us like 7 years to get the building built and get things moving, you know. And so these last 14 years, we've been in this building, worshiping, experiencing God, experiencing his miracles. And in those 14 years, we've paid off probably over $1 million of cash that's been laid out to do this work for him in Kamei, Idaho. I remember back in those days, it wasn't that long ago, right? 14 years ago, 20 years ago. I remember God putting it in our heart to say, I want you to build me a church. And we're going, okay, God, what kind of a church do you... We have a church already. No, I want you to build me a church. I want you to build me a new church. I want you to build me a church that reaches people that other churches aren't reaching. And he just goes, I already have other churches that are doing other things, and they're amazing, and we celebrate them, and we're so glad those other churches are in our community. But he tapped us on the shoulder and he said, would you build us a church that would reach other people that those churches aren't reaching? And I kind of knew what that meant. I kind of knew like, oh, that means I'm going to have to change. That means I'm going to have to do things differently. And I'm kind of an old classical Pentecostal guy, and I kind of like that. And God's saying, yeah, but I want you to build me a church. And our board and our staff and our congregation, we all heard this from the Lord. And we said yes. One of our culture pieces at the Life Center is we just keep saying yes to God. Whatever God wants, we just keep saying yes. Is it always easy? No. But we say yes anyway. Is it what we prefer? Not always, but we say yes anyway. Today we're going to be celebrating three new pastoral staff members and installing them. And yeah. And these are three people that just simply said yes to God. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. But first, let's talk about this history and what we're doing here. The history of our church is pretty amazing. The Kamei Church and the Kuski Church have been here since the 1950s, maybe the late 40s. And they have a rich history in this community. No scandals, none of that. I kind of went back just in a little bit of the Kamei Church history. In the last 69 years, this church has had three pastors. And if you add Arby's 5 years now, four pastors in the last 74 years. That's crazy amazing. That's amazing. And they were all amazing pastors. Maybe that one guy. Maybe that guy. But the Bomleys, the Waynes, the Shounds. It's amazing what God has done. I go to the history of the Kuski Church, and I don't know it as well, but I know the Miltons were pastors in Kuski since I was a kid. You know, I grew up in Pierce, but I was down here at fellowship meetings and youth rallies and stuff all the time, and the Miltons were the pastors when I was a kid. Then the Cunninghams were after them, and then Kari and I pastored there. We've been pastoring here for the last 34 years. 34 years. I know I don't look that old, but yeah. And Arby's been here for what, the last 41 years? Just 40? You were 9 months in the womb. So he's been here since conception, that guy right here. Yeah, he grew up here. This is his church. Amen. Another cool little factoid is Red Lewis was the pastor of the Kamei Church when it was on Main Street where the library is now. And he was my mom's pastor in Pierce at Cardiff Mission when she was a teenager. And so we have a bunch of connecting history for a long time in this area. So yeah, Kari and I pastored 6 years in Kamei, 6 years in Kuski, and then in January 1st, the year 2000, while the world was falling apart, when everybody else thought the world was going to hell in a handbasket, when all the computers were going to die, we blended two churches, and we knew there was an amazing future ahead of us. And the timing's incredible of what God did. When everybody else is hoarding food and bullets, we're blending a church for the future, right? And God bless that. When we blended those two churches, we had 17 elders on our board. That was not a miracle. That was evil. But if you've ever been a part of a board, that wasn't evil. We needed to blend both boards. We needed to blend the husbands and wife teams. We really love husband and wife teams around here. We think if one's in, you're all in. That's kind of the way it goes, you know. And so we did that. And people kept saying, why are you doing this? And we said, well, we can't help all the people we want to help doing it the way we've been doing it. Our small buildings, our small congregations, our Kamei and Kuski in this Upper Clearwater region needed a church that could help them more, needed a church that would glorify God in bigger ways, a church that would be involved in bigger ways, and a church that could hold more people, and a church that could do a lot of the stuff we've done in the last 21 years. They needed that church. And God knew it more than we did. We just kind of looked at it and said, man, that's going to be a lot of work. That's going to be hard. But God said, I got you. I'm going to help you. I want to take care of you. So that's why we did it, because we love people. One of our mission mottos is what? Loving God passionately And then loving others purposefully. And the reason we built this church is because we were loving God passionately. God said, do it. And we said, yes, sir. We're going to do whatever you want us to do. And because we loved other people passionately, purposefully, very intentionally, we began to build this place. Yeah, there were several temptations to turn back. It wasn't easy for sure, but God always gave us grace and gave us a direction through it all. The church was threatened and challenged many times from within and without, but we kept our eye on the mission. We kept moving forward. Distractions would arise. Stress would amplify. Hey, there would be arrows come through that sphere of protection that we heard about today. That happened a couple times, right? Still happens sometimes. But we kept moving forward anyway. There was a high price paid by everyone. So God said, would you build me a church that reaches people that other churches aren't reaching? And we said, yes, God, we'll do that. We'll do that. It meant we would have to do many things different than we've ever done before. It meant that we would have to change. It meant that we could not just function in the mechanics of church life and just oil the wheels of the machine of religion. We sang a song about that, right? God, we want your way. We want you to do what you want to do. We just don't want our religion or our way. And God wanted us to do something different than anything we'd ever done before and anything we've been trained to do and also anything that we preferred to do. In the middle of all this, I would say this, people would say, well, Kelly, what's happening in Cami? I said, well, I'm preaching sermons that I hate. I'm singing songs that I don't like. I'm teaching leadership lessons that I hate, but I'm getting results that I love. What did that mean? God asked me to do something I didn't prefer. That wasn't my natural self, but he just said, would you give me your yes? Would you do this? And it wasn't just me. When I say me, I'm talking about all of us together, this church, the elders of this church, the congregations of this church. We all did that. Making life better was one of our models. It used to be out there on our sign. Making life better. We believe that when you are a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, life gets better. We believe that. So we want to teach people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And knowing their life will get better if they will do that. And my life gets better when I do that. Giving never creates a lack, it creates an abundance. How many times do we hear that in this process? God kept saying, keep giving, keep giving. Giving doesn't create a lack. Sometimes you look at your budget, you look at your money, you look at your energy, you look at your time, and you say, well, God, I can't give. He said, Kelly, giving does not deplete you. Giving multiplies you. So don't think about giving as creating a lack. Think about giving as creating an abundance. And we had to practice that again and again and again. And you know what? God's proven himself absolutely true and faithful all along the way. We have an abundance around here. We have an abundance of joy. We have an abundance of peace. He's given us abundance of resources to pay off the debt. He's given us an abundance of leaders. He's given us an abundance of ministries. There's an abundance in this place, and it's because we keep giving. We keep saying yes, and that's our tradition and our history here. Now our model's living life together. That's a great one, RV. That is a great one. We have to do life together. We have to live life together. Like Kathleen was saying, come forward. Don't be alone. Don't do it on your own. We got to live life together. Don't just come on Sundays and go home and not connect anymore to anybody in this church. We got to live life together. We got to build friendships and build relationships and make those connections. The vision of the church of the Life Center has just been striving to serve God energetically, obey him totally, and worship him extravagantly. Things that we want to do, that's our goal. Obey him totally, serving him energetically, worshiping him extravagantly. When it comes to loving people purposefully, we want people to gain through fellowship, gather people through evangelism, and grow people through teaching. One of the other things I love about what God's done in this church and doing in this church is this church prioritizes the application of God's word to where we live it, not just hear about it not just know about it. We live it. The preaching around here and the teaching around here, it's geared for application. We try to put handles on it so we can all take it home and use it and make life better because we're living the Word and experiencing the Word on a daily basis. We may not be the most holy church. We may not be the church that focuses on doctrine the most, but we are a church that focuses on the big, clear things that the Bible talks about and lives out the application of faith, hope, and love. And see, when God says, I want you to build me a church that reaches people that other churches aren't reaching, and we had to shift. I'm really a huge nerd. I have doctrine. I love doctrine, studying all that stuff. Man, I love preaching to be just deep and drag out new nuggets. And God says, that's not helping the group I want you to help. Can you start preaching application? Can you start preaching like Jesus did? Well, I'm supposed to preach the way I was trained to preach. No, can you preach like Jesus did? Can you preach stuff that really people can grab it, take it home, and use it? Can you use stories and illustrations? And can you preach application? Can you preach revelation? Can you do that? I said, Lord, okay, let's try to do that. The values of the Life Center, and all of this is our history. This is who we have become. This is who we are today, a church that loves God. And that has to be the reputation of this place. There's some things those people aren't, but boy, they love God. And the next one is loving people. There's some things that they're not good at, but they are really good at loving people. The next one is loving diversity. That's challenging, right? It's easy to love somebody like you. It's easy to love another Cowboy fan. That Green Bay guy, I don't know about him. I don't know if we can have him in the church. Ushers! But we should be able to celebrate diversity, you know? There's probably a few Seahawks fans in the building, you know? I know there's a Kansas City guy back there we talked to earlier. But it's not just in our football teams, it's loving diversity. We even love Californians around here. Not as much as Idahoans, but we do love Californians too. We love old people and young people, big people, little people, people that are in shape, people that are round and in that shape. You know, it doesn't, we just want to love diversity. You don't have to believe everything we believe. You don't have to like our teams. You don't have to even like our politics. You don't even have to like all the priorities and preferences that we all have. But we want to love diversity. We all want to love Jesus together. We want to love God passionately, and we want to love other people purposefully. And other than that, it's not really that big of a deal. We can start talking about all sorts of COVID things and whatever, but we love diversity around here. Here's our next one. We want to be a friend to the destiny of others. A friend to the destiny of others. Sometimes as a church, you can get really inwardly focused. Sometimes just as a person, you can get inwardly focused. But what if we were a friend to somebody else's destiny? What if God tapped us on the shoulder and says, I want you to go engage in their life and help them because they need a friend, they need a boost, they need a help, they need an encouragement, they need something right now. Go help them be a friend to somebody else's destiny. Make room in your life for new people. See, I told you we love Californians. There it is right there, you know. Washingtonians. There's people moving in from all over, right? Southern Idahoans, you know, it doesn't matter. Moving in, making room in our life for new people. That's what our church is. That's who we are. Known for acts of kindness, ministers well to people of all ages, a church that loves to pray. We heard about that this morning, right? A church that's full of life is life-giving. A church that's full of good works that glorifies God. Works to eliminate loneliness in our area. We've heard about that already this morning. A church that loves to do things with passion and excellence, has big faith, is generous with our time, talents, and treasures, is taking its place in the world and fulfilling its destiny. The Life Center has a destiny. God birthed this church out of revelation, intentionally, on purpose, and he wants this church to accomplish why he birthed it, why it's here, what we're supposed to be about. This church has a destiny, and we're here to fulfill that destiny as well. The Life Center is called to evangelize our region and produce much fruit that glorifies God in our generation and makes his name great. It's called to become a contemporary church that's relevant, purposeful, intentional in making life better for our congregation and everyone in this Upper Clearwater area. We're called to be a resource ministry center. One of the things I also love about this church is God said, if you will let me use you to resource others financially, relationally, sending leaders, sending help, if you will expand yourself and let me use you to resource others, I'll always take care of home base for you. I'll always take care of Kamei if you'll stretch yourself out and take care of others. And we found that to be so true time after time after time. And we're a resource center for God. And it's happened in our leaders. It's happened with our finances again and again and again. So God promised that if you would serve outside yourself, regionally, nationally, and globally, God would bless you locally. I've talked about spiritual sons and daughters. Arby and Kathleen are two of my favorite people. You know, they're a spiritual son, a spiritual daughter. And their kids are spiritual grandchildren to us. And even more than that, we're just relationally connected and connected with love. And today we're going to be talking about that guy, Johnny Schuster. He's a great friend ever since he started pushing Kelsey on the swing in first grade, you know, or before that, you know. And then Jeff, some people are saying, why are you wearing a suit to a tailgate party? This suit is a silk suit from Thailand. And there was a guy named Jeff Swan that was on a mission trip in Thailand. And he called his parents and he said, you got to get Kelly's measurements because I'm going to buy him a suit, the finest suit you can make, and I'm going to bring it home for him. That's this suit. That was over 20 years ago. It's wearing well, you know. It still fits. I've grown out of it and shrunk back into it a couple times, but I can button it. I don't know if you want me to prove it or not, but I can button it. God said, I want this church to be a church that raises up ministers and sends them out. We're getting to do that in bigger ways than we've ever done it. And it's going to be so cool. This church is going to raise the spiritual water level of this region. And if you guys know, that means just that maybe before the spirituality and the water level receptivity to Christ and people that had positive thoughts about God was lower. But if we would do what he asked us to do, we would impact people with maybe loving hands and other things that we do and putting up benches for, you know, barbecue days and all the other gifts that we give in the community and love and the food bank and all the things that we do. People's going to say, that's a group of people that helps. That's a group of people that loves God and they help their neighbors. And that raises the spirituality level in this region. And not only do we get to benefit that from that at this church, but all the other churches in the region get to benefit from that as well. It's just they do lots of things as well that raises the spiritual level, but we're part of that. Giving people a positive thought about God. There a long time ago, we were like, how do we evangelize? What's the deal? And this postmodern generation, the enemy's done a really good job of tearing down the name of the church and the name of God. And God said, I just want a church that causes people to have a positive thought about God, and we'll just keep raising that spiritual understanding and experience. And that's what we were called to do, and that's what we've been working on. Initially, we had a culture of only building and doing ministry debt-free. That was the big deal in the past, you know. Still is in some places. Do it debt-free. But God says, I need it done faster and bigger than that, you know. And don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of the money. You know, if we're going to build it debt-free, we would just be getting started today. But you know what? We would have never raised the million. We would have never raised the $1 million thinking about someday we're going to build God a church. Someday we're going to have a Loving Hands ministry. Someday we're going to do food banks. Someday we're going to raise up ministers right out of the congregation to replace that old guy. Someday, someday, someday's not a vision. Now's the vision. Now's the time. And we did it, and God supplied it all along the way. So they wanted us to move faster. We saved hundreds of thousands of dollars by our financing strategies. We were in a board meeting. Don Burnside piped up. We were trying to get a bank loan. How are we going to do this? God told us to do it. So we're just searching for ways to do it. And Don says, what if the congregation funded it with investments and the family members of the congregation, instead of giving the bank $50,000 for a commercial loan on top of the money they give us, instead of other things? And we had a multi-pronged strategy financially. We asked people, can you give a one-time lump sum offering? Can you pledge monthly for the building of this building? And can you invest at 6% in 2006? Can you invest at 6%? You know what happened in 2007 and 2008, anybody? The huge recession. The real estate bubble burst. Guess who loved getting their interest checks from the Life Center during that time? Our congregation and their family members. And we financed this and saved hundreds of thousands of dollars because of that revelation and idea from Don Burnside, one of our board members. And that happened again and again, didn't it? Yeah, just when we needed it, God said, here's the idea, here's what to do, go do this. And it worked every single time. We had donated labor, donated equipment, donated materials, and much more. We're talking about miracles now. God helped us all along the way. Not one time did we lack. We always had more than enough to do lots of ministry and be generous and pay our bills all along the way. This project was huge. No one in our area had ever built a building like this. It was crazy when we started looking for an electrician. They're all going, I don't know how to do that. So we had to hire an electrical engineer and get all the plans and then try to get an electrician that could think they could get that plan accomplished. And it was just lots of people. This was too big of a building for people in our area to think about. But God gave us the people to do it again and again and again and again. He gave us the people to do it. The original plan was putting all of our efforts into building the building while not losing momentum in the ministry. That was a big issue. It's like, we're going to build a building. We're going to hire somebody to put the envelope up. And then we're going to do all the other work, you know. And just the church people are going to do it. And it was huge, but we can't lose ministry focus while we're building the building. And in the middle of all of that, in September of 2006, got a phone call on a Saturday morning, and they said, I heard that your church wants to operate a thrift store. I'm going, okay, I talked to a lady at NAPA, Napa, right, and told her that, the vision of our church. I said, we want to just help lots of people. We'd like to have a thrift store. We'd like to have food banks. We'd like to just help our community. And so she remembered that. And a year later, gives me a call, says, I heard, yeah, we do. Can you meet this afternoon? Sure. And by dark, we were the proud owners of what was then called the Emergency Warehouse, but today is called Loving Hands Thrift and More. In the middle of our building project, we get a thrift store. Now we've got to train that, fund that, get that going. And God said, don't worry, I've got enough grace. I've got enough for you. So we had two big projects going on at the same time. And then look at our thrift store out here on the highway now. Look what God has done with that. Probably next year we'll be celebrating another debt-free celebration. You know, God will give you the capacity to do anything he asks you to do. What are we saying today? God's going to do it again. I really want some of you to be so encouraged in your life. Maybe you need miracles. Maybe you need God to do something extravagant for you. Maybe you need God to solve a problem for you. And these stories that we're telling you today should be encouraging your faith and saying God can do that and more in your life. Amen. And he can. And we had tons. God gave us Don Burnside. He retired at just the right time. And we said, good, Don, we've got a project for you. And he became the construction manager for this and was amazing all through the process. I remember when we were building the pump house out there. We had already built this and had the envelope up. And we'd done a lot of internal work here, but we needed to get the pump house built and get the water system going. So we were out there building the pump house. And he said, you know what? Most of the buildings we build around here are about the size of this pump house, not the size of this church. And I thought, yeah, thank God for what he's doing. God gave us Tex Blair. What a blessing he was. What a blessing he was. Of course, Arby's a professional construction guy too. And so many. I remember Junior Barry, the dude had the tools, you know. Anytime he needed something, he'd run up the hill, grab his tool, come back down, you know. And he was a professional roofer, construction guy, and just loved the labor here. And we've got so many great memories of people and all many of you that just helped here. Prayer warriors, people that donated, people that cooked food for us. God asked us to do this and said he would provide all the answers and resources, and he did. And he did. Amen. So we kept giving God our yes, and he kept giving us miracles. I talked about the financial plan already. Our largest gift was $50,000. So how did you build this? The largest single gift we ever received for the building of this building was $50,000. And that was like a year after we moved in, right? It was given to us. We had another lady who gave us $25,000, and what a huge blessing that was. Everything else was paid with small donations and pledges, just a dollar at a time, a year at a time, a month at a time. And God multiplied that. We had a large crew working for over a year with no injuries and no accidents. A bunch of rookies out here with no injuries and no accidents. There was one. That was not an injury or an accident. That was a mechanical failure. You should have saw us on the roof putting the metal on. That was fun, lifting it up there with a crane. We got some good pictures of Forrest up there and other people. Yep, no injuries or accident. We found a builder to set these SIP panels. These are SIP panels, which is OSB on the inside and outside and styrofoam in the middle. I was in Israel right after we built this, and I'm walking around in things that have lasted 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years, you know. And I'm thinking, in Idaho, we use OSB and styrofoam. Still standing, though, so praise the Lord for that. Our construction guy died a week before the project started. Okay, God, now what? And his crew just jumped in and did the work and saved the day for not only us, but for his wife, the construction man's wife, and his construction company. And God helped us with that. We had cranes and rollers and equipment donated. All these light poles in the parking lot were donated. Many things were donated. In the past, we struggled to raise $3,000 for a new furnace for years. That was our history in the past. Look what God has done now, right? Amen. We're completely debt-free as of a few months ago. You know, while we paid off this building, we built this about $300,000 with cash. that wing over there while we were still paying on this. And the Loving Hands, you know, if you don't know, Loving Hands does not give any money to this church. None of that money comes into our budget here. Not a dollar of Loving Hands money went to pay off this church or support this church. We use it all for the Loving Hands and for the community. And so a lot of people don't know that. They think, oh, you're getting rich off of your thrift store. Nope, we're sending that right back into the community. Praise the Lord. So we had all these things donated. And as of a few months ago, we're completely debt-free. We developed a finance committee in this process, and they've been huge in managing our funds, prioritizing our spending and our savings so we could be debt-free today. Without that finance committee, it wouldn't have happened. And that's a group of mostly ladies, all ladies, I think. Got to give the money to the ladies, and they take good care of it. They helped us budget, save, spend. They were always generous. They were always generous and always had faith. And, of course, the board was always managing the decisions, and then they managed the money. They had scratched their heads once in a while. Our board would say, okay, we're going to do this. They go, we don't have any money for that. God's going to provide it. Just hang on. And he did, didn't he, every single time. I'm almost done with this part. So. The timing of it all was amazing, too. When we had... called it the Y Project at first, and then now it's the East Wing. When we were had that just framed in, it was August 2015. Anybody know what happened in August 2015? The big fire raged through here, yeah. And this became the resource center, the distribution center for about 6 months. And then the perfect timing. The pastor at that time, I don't remember who that guy was, but the pastor at that time was like, come on, get this thing built. What's the delay? Let's go. We need to borrow some money. We need to hire some more contractors. We need to get this thing built. But God's timing was perfect. People like Arby always said, calm down, Kelly. It's going to be okay. And he always helped me out with that stuff. Sometimes God seems like he's too slow, but he's not, right? We were getting ready to break ground and excavate this. Leo Robinette. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Leo Robinette had a connection with Subert Construction. They had a big project going on in the area. I was off hunting that week. And while I was gone, they came in and excavated this property. And they put a mountain of dirt, topsoil over there, and a mountain of topsoil over there. And they hauled in 2 days worth of a whole bunch of trucks, one after another, and rocked all of this for us for an amazing low price because they were already in the area. What a blessing that was. I came back from hunting, and it was done. I just sat out there at the driveway and just cried for about an hour because the dream was coming true. What God had envisioned was happening. And that's so fun when that happens. That's so fun. The highway turn lane, we were supposed to pay $50,000 for that, but the timing was just perfect. And IDT paid for it. Or I guess you all paid for it anyway, didn't you? We paid for it anyway, just not out of the church checkbook, out of our taxes, right? People said God didn't need a church like this, but he did. Others said we could never sell our old church buildings and our old parsonages. There was no market for selling buildings at that time, none, and especially an old church building, but we did. They said we could never find a good piece of property. It wasn't easy, but we did. They said once we found this piece of property, you'll never get water, but we did. That was quite a story. We got a map, and we said, everybody pray and put your X on the map where you think we're supposed to drill the well. There were Pentecostals around here. And the big conglomeration of X's are right over there where our well is. And that well's a good well. And there's dry wells all around here, but not that one. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. You know, when we needed water and we thought it was going to be hard to get water and people told us we wouldn't get water, you know what we did? We didn't have any money. We sent $10,000 to Africa to drill wells. who put seed in the ground, right? We were just generous all along the way. That's the history of this church. Miracle after miracle happened. They said we could never raise enough to get started. If we did get started, we couldn't finish. We could never keep two churches together. Have you ever tried to blend two churches? Have you ever tried to keep a marriage together just with two people? It's not always easy. But we did it. The Lord did it, I guess. Said you could never grow enough and manage a large ministry. There would never be miracles. But the building miracles that we have pales compared to the people miracles that we have these past 21 years. So many have been saved and baptized, called into ministry, physically healed of MRSA, heart problems, seizures. John, in your Sunday school class today, you have people stand up and testify of miracles that happened. We've had so many people. If you have been impacted by God in this building through a miracle, through a healing, salvation, baptism, would you just stand up? Has this place impacted you today at all? Have you heard a word from God? Have you been encouraged at all in this building? Stand up. Man, I'm standing 100 times. God did this. So Kari and I's greatest joy is not the building. It's the people. It's you. See, when we started, we saw you. When we started, we saw our being Kathleen being pastors here. We saw Johnny Schuster being the youth pastor. We went out and recruited these folks, didn't we? Reeled them in. I mean, they have a history here, but they were kind of going off, and we said, no, come home. God wants you here. Reeled them in. And of course, it wasn't just us. God had to speak to them, right? These are not people that you can manipulate. These are people that have to hear from God, and then they'll give God their yes. Jeff Swan, somebody that has to hear from God, and he'll give God his yes. Amen. So Kari and I's greatest joy are you and the pastoral staff that's here today. That's our greatest joy. The future's bright. We love our pastors here. We love their spouses, their children. We love you. God has done amazing miracles in the past. He's doing them today. And guess what? The future is bright. Amen? Right now, we're going to do an installation. So if we'll get Jeff and Kathleen and Johnny to come up. You're going to get to hear from Arby in a minute, and I get to talk about the past, but Arby's going to talk about the future and what God's putting in his heart. I know there's people online enjoying this. Some of you will be watching the recording, and this is a dream come true. It's a dream come true for me. Maybe not for you, but for me. I remember over 20 years ago, sitting back there in that room we call the link, and Kathleen's walking by. And I said, Kathleen, God wants to use your voice. And she began to weep. And she's the most tender woman that I know towards God. Sometimes you act tough. Sometimes. And sometimes you've had to be tough. But don't ever let that surprise you about her. She's the most tender, soft woman towards God and his spirit. And I said, God wants to use your voice. And she's, I know. And I'm going, not just worship either. God wants to use your voice to speak to people, to speak his word. And today she's stepping into that. And it's cool for me. It's really cool. I've talked a little bit about Jeff, but Jeff, you've always been an amazing man. And growing up in this church and having such a heart for God and the things you've gone through and kept your faith and kept strong. And you've been around the world chasing the yes, giving God your yes. And the heart that God has given you and the compassion and the heart to serve and the heart to inspire. You're gonna love what Jeff does at the Life Center. He started Friday, right? As a pastoral staff, October. But he's been here all along. And I'm so excited for the future. Missions and teams and things that he's going to be doing. He's going to be fulfilling the vision of this church. And your family is so amazing and beautiful. And giving God your yes and enlarging your family recently. And, you know, all of these have had careers and opportunities and security in finances and career security. And they've all stopped that and said yes to God. Johnny, you're the dude. You're the dude. I mean, Idaho Forest Group, almost the irreplaceable guy up there, the guy that was interviewing for the superintendent position. And he said yes to God recently and walked away from that career because we're paying him so much more than that. He's our district youth director in the Pacific Northwest District. And he and Bailey have just said yes to God. And it's so beautiful. Today, there are pastoral staff, along with Arvy and I and Kari. There are pastoral staff. And God is doing something special here. Our history is pretty cool, but we ain't seen nothing yet. With you all and this team, our future's great. Our future's bright. Ephesians chapter 4 says that when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Then he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and the work of the ministry. Pastors are a gift to the congregation. Sometimes Arby and I are talking and go, Arby, if people didn't need leaders, God wouldn't give us leaders. We need leaders. We need help. Help is a gift. Leadership is a gift. And you three are a gift to the Life Center. And I want us to acknowledge that as a congregation. You're a gift to us. I know that you're giving and others have been a gift to you. But you're a gift to us here today. And did you notice at the end of that verse, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry? That it's not just the three or four pastors that do the work of the ministry. It's the pastors that equip you to do the work of the ministry. Amen. I know there's no hand clap when I say that. I understand. That's heavy. I understand. So today, Johnny, Jeff, and Kathleen, you've been called by God to be part of the pastoral staff of this congregation. You've been called to help lead this people in the way of Jesus Christ. You've been set apart for special service to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. As you embark on this chapter of your ministry, I encourage you to love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. For it is out of your love and devotion to Jesus Christ that you will effectually love and lead this congregation. It's through Jesus Christ's love that you will open your life to them, sharing their joys and their burdens, their labors, and their faith. I encourage you today to remember always that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And while it is this office grants you some privilege, it's the privilege to serve in the name of Jesus Christ, to serve his people with passion and intelligence, imagination, love, relying on God's mercy and rejoicing in God's promise through Jesus Christ. And finally, I encourage you to live and walk humbly and righteously and courageously. humbly because it is with humility that we enter the kingdom of God, righteously because we always preach a better sermon with our lives than with our lips, right? And courageously because you must be willing to be misunderstood and free of judgments of others to serve and help lead this church where the Lord directs. Today I have this baton, and this baton represents a passing on of a calling, a passing on of responsibility and duty. And as you are the three new members of this pastoral staff, Kathleen is a team member and a co-pastor with her husband, Arby, and senior pastors of this church together. And finally, I get to call her Pastor Kathleen. That's kind of a personal joke for the last 30 years, 20 years. Oh, praise the Lord. And then Jeff and Johnny, you guys, associate pastors carrying the baton. And we talked about the Bombleys and others who've passed the baton to us, and now we're passing the baton to you. And this race that we're in, it's not a sprint. It's not even a marathon, but it's a relay race. And those that have gone before us have built in the name of Jesus and passed on their heart and their life and their work. And now you will build with your heart and your life. And the day will come when you will pass this baton on to others, should the Lord tarry, right? Amen. So, it's a relay. Tag, you're it. I want to pray for them. Arby, you want to come help us? And then we're going to turn Arby loose on the crowd. It's a little longer today, probably. Sorry, but it's a big day. Amen. So let's pray for them. I'll pray, and then we'll let Pastor Arby close in prayer for that. Lord, I thank you today. These men, this amazing woman standing here, called, anointed. They have said yes to you at great expense. Lord, if we looked at this just in the natural, at great expense, but in the spirit, they have said yes to the right thing, and their life is going to be so enriched, and their legacy will be strong. And we ask, God, that you would bless them and use them for your glory and your purpose. God, that you would fill their heart with your heart. You would fill their eyes with your vision. You would fill their hands with your work, God. God, I pray that they would not be abused or mistreated. And they would make sure, God, that they take the right time for themselves and they take time for their families. But I know they're all in, God. And I ask, God, that you would bless them, use them. God, give them a great heart for one another and for this people, this congregation, and the future of this church. God, we're here for people that aren't here yet. There's still hundreds, maybe thousands more that need to be touched and influenced and blessed and saved. And God, we're here for them as well. God, we ask your blessing on them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you. God, for this amazing team, God, that you've assembled, God, to go forth and do your work here in the Clearwater Valley, God, and God, and outside of even our Northwest region, God, into all the world, God, that they would lead, train, and develop those who would come up under them. And God, we ask for protection around about their families, Lord God, that you would just keep them from harm's way, God, that any plan the enemy would set toward them, God, that you would put it to a halt. And God, that you would use it to benefit them, to increase them, to grow and develop them, Lord God. Father, we ask for your strength to be upon them, to endure the race you've set before them. God, we ask for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit to be sharp in their minds, God, at every turn and decision, God, every situation, God, that the light of your word would be alive and well within their minds and their hearts, God, that they would speak your truth with accuracy and clarity, God, causing those around them to rise to your expectation, Lord God, God, to rise to your level of integrity and morality, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for these two amazing men, this amazing woman, Lord God, for their yes to you, God, laying down that which the world had to offer and giving you their all and their yes. God, we ask that your blessing would follow them, that it would be overflowing and abundant, blessing those who would partner with them in ministry. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.